Your program feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder, we have a Bible Institute here at BBN. At bbnradio.org, just click Bible Institute.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest today is Kempton Turner. Hey, have you ever struggled with doubt? Maybe you wondered about the claims of the Bible, about whether God was real. Here we are building a life. What are we building it on? Are we sure of the foundation? Here's Kempton Turner and Assurance and the Love of God for Teens.
Any Jesus lovers in the building? Jesus lovers. Jesus lovers. Yeah, yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Maybe we'll see. But I do want to talk to those of you who clapped and cheered, and you're professing, at least. I don't know. But I do want to talk to you and just ask. I remember doing this last year, and I'm glad that the fire is there. So no masks, all right? Look at the person next to you and just tell them, take off the mask, okay? Take off the mask. All right. Let's just be real, okay? If you love Christ, say you love Christ. If you hate Christ, say you hate Christ. If you don't want to be here, say I don't want to be here. If you would rather be doing something, just be real, okay? No fake Christians. If you really love Him, then you really love Him. If you don't, you don't. Here we are, real. No games. We just want to be before the God who knows it all anyway. And so I just want to ask, have you ever struggled or had doubts about the existence of God? Yeah, some people say. Have you ever? I mean, I have. I'm raising my hand. Some of you really spiritual people should be teaching, I guess, because I have. Have you ever had serious doubts about the claims that there really is a Jesus that really came, died, and rose from the dead, and nobody can find His body, and He's the Savior of the world? Have you ever had doubts about if that's really true? Anybody? Okay, us seven again. Okay. Have you ever had doubts or questions about the reliability that a book was actually written by God called the Bible? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. About 26 of us. Getting warmer. I'm a pastor, okay, and I have had at times as a pastor these crazy gnawing doubts that what if it's not real? And I just get like, oh, what if it's not real? Then everything means nothing. How many of you have ever asked yourself, you know what? Am I really a Christian? I say I'm a Christian. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand anymore. These are just some of the questions. This is why I'm saying no masks. We just want to be real. You've ever said, you know, does God still love me? It's going to get a little bit more personal. Does God still love me after the mess that I've made, after the stuff that I've done? Have I sinned too badly? Am I going to lose my salvation now? Am I condemned to hell now because I keep doing the same thing over and over again and I keep saying I'm sorry? What's going to happen to me now? And all these gnawing doubts. And then there's a real devil, and the Bible calls him, one of his names is Satan. It means he's an accuser. All right. He's an accuser of true believers. So one of the signs that you're a true believer is that you do have these doubts. So if you don't, it might mean that you really don't even care. All right. But Satan accuses the brethren. OK, he doesn't accuse his own people. The Bible says Satan loves to whisper lies into true Christians' ears. He loves to spew the venom of unbelief and doubt. Are you really a Christian? Is the Bible really true? Can you really trust that He's going to forgive you again? All of these things come into the mind and hearts of true Christians. And so this is very serious. This is really about heaven and hell. Okay? This is about heaven and hell and eternity are on the line. That's why we need to be real before God. And I just want to relieve the true Christians in the room. And I keep saying true Christians is because I'm on a campaign to help fake Christians really identify themselves as not real Christians so they can be real Christians and really go be with Jesus forever. There's a testimony of a young man that was in our youth ministry in Minneapolis, and he stood up in front of a group of about 100 teenagers, and he said, "I used to be a fake Christian like some of you." And I was just like, "What?" And basically, he said, "I did all the right stuff. I had my Bible. I memorized my verses. I went when my youth pastor was around. I tried to say and do the right things. When my parents were around, I tried to say and do the right things. But in my heart, I did not love Jesus." You notice the first thing I said is how many Jesus lovers in the room? Not people that believe the Bible or believe this or think that's true or live a good life or memorize scripture or go on mission trip. How many Jesus lovers? He says, there was no burning affection in my heart for Jesus. I just did all this stuff, and maybe that's some of you. And he said, listen to how God really saved him. He was on the phone one night talking to a girl. Ooh. And she said, "I've been wondering, what do you have to do to be a Christian?" Now watch this. This is amazing. He said, "Well, there's a Bible verse that says, if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Right in that moment, he said, something happened. He said, "I'm saved." And she's like, "You are?" God just broke his heart and made him really believe the gospel. God got saved through his own mouth. Telling his friend on the phone about Jesus, and Jesus saved him. And he's sitting up here telling 100 professing Christians that I was a fake Christian. I knew the right things to say, but there was no burning, no desire, no longing, no love for Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you are a believer who loves Jesus like that, I just want to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free by telling you it is normal to have doubts and concerns about whether you're really loved by this God or not. Listen, that's what was going on in Thessalonica. That's what we're going to look at. Here's the sweet thing about Thessalonica. This is to give you some more validity to the historical roots of the Christian faith. The city that God used one of his servants, Paul, to write to, it's still in existence today. Very same city is in Greece today to remind us that this book is written in actual historical truth. The sweet thing about these Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is that they were new believers. This church was 3 weeks old, probably about 3 weeks old. So these were new believers. They had doubts. They had concerns. They were wondering stuff like, what happens when believers die in chapter 4? When is the Lord coming back in chapter 4? They had questions about the gospel and if their faith was really real. On top of that, they were suffering and going through hard times. Chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 3 through 4, a room this size, there are people going through hard times. Anybody want to be honest? This has been a hard season in your life. Anybody, any hands? Yeah, there. And when it's hard, it's easy to question the love and faithfulness of God. Let me just say that again. When your life is hard, it's easy to question the love and the faithfulness of God. And that's what was going on in this church full of baby believers. And God was concerned, and so he wrote them a love letter. That's what 1 Thessalonians is. He wrote them a love letter to remind them, yes, I know you have questions. I know you have doubts. You're only 3 weeks old in the faith. You're going through suffering, affliction. You're being persecuted. When it's hard, it's easy to doubt the love of God. And so God writes them a letter to remind them that, you know what? You're the real deal. I really saved you 3 weeks ago. And I want to write you a letter through my apostle to remind you that I'm for you. Okay? To build up your faith. Because the devil was after it. Listen, we regularly need to be reminded that we're loved by God. Christians regularly need to be reminded that God will keep us in his love forever. And in this first chapter, you can almost feel God's fatherly heart saying, look, you're loved. You're accepted. I'm doing a work in your life. Just look at these verses. I'm going to flip through some of these. Says Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So this is Paul is the apostle. He's got two partners in the ministry, and he's writing to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. He just wants you to know, grace, okay? There's free kindness for you, peace with God. And then he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your... He's not just saying this, okay? He's trying to encourage them, your work of faith, okay? I see your faith working, labor of love. I see you loving people, okay? And steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's pointing out evidences of grace in their life to show them, this stuff is in you. You're 3 weeks old, but I still see love and faith and steadfastness in you. It says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And so, the great news that I just want to really leave you with tonight is that though true believers struggle and wrestle and doubt, and they need to hear, you do see faith in me. They need to hear another Christian come along and say, you know, I see some love in you. All right. Last year, you would have just snapped off and hit him with a Bible. But this year, you just kind of snapped off. You kept the Bible in your pocket. Listen. The good news is that God delights to reassure his people of his unstoppable love for them. Did you hear that? God loves to remind his people how much he loves them, especially when times are hard and they're struggling to believe that Jesus really died for me, that Jesus really raised from the dead for me. He loves to step in and reconvince you that you're his, and remind you that you're his, and reassure you that you are his. And there's a fancy word for that. I wonder how many of you know it. It's called the doctrine of, anybody know? Assurance. There you go. The doctrine of assurance. That's the teaching that says that God will make sure that you know that you are loved by him, and that if your faith is in Christ, he will keep you as his child until you safely make it to heaven. That is huge. I mean, I get to travel some, and I've been a local youth pastor. I know in this room there are genuine believers, younger and older, who wrestle with this. You sin, you screw up, you do it again, and these voices and these doubts, and you close your Bible and turn on the TV and grab you some Doritos and just forget it. Listen, your Father in heaven delights to say to you, you are mine. And you will always be secure in my arms. I try to model this with my daughter, Karis, 5-year-old. She's a cutie. I look at her and I say, Karis, I say, does Daddy love you? And she says, yeah. I said, does Daddy love you even if you disobey? And she's like, I say, yes. I said, Daddy will always love you. And she says, even when I get married? And I'm like, yep. And I say, you'll always be my princess. Even when I get married? I say, yep. You might be his queen, but you'll still be my princess. And through the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, God loves to turn his sons and his daughters that he purchased with his son's own blood, turn their face to his face and tenderly say, listen, you'll always be my daughter. You'll always be my son. The work that I started in you when you genuinely trusted in the gospel, I will complete. And I love to remind you. And that's what 1 Thessalonians is about. We've gone through a lot of verses, but I want to go to this one here. Here's a battle. It's a warfare. This is one of Jesus' servants, God's people, and we see Satan in the picture. And we see a promise from Jesus of assurance of salvation and faith. Look at what Luke 22:31 says. Simon, Simon, Jesus tells Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Okay? Now, that only happens if you really belong to Jesus. That's logical, right? Because he doesn't desire to have who he already owns. Satan says, I want Christians. Listen, wow. Satan has an evil lust to destroy Christians. You need to understand that if you are in Christ, he has an evil lust for you. Okay? He's not just wanting to get you drunk, even though he would love to get you drunk, and I don't want you to get drunk. But that's not what he's really after. He's not just wanting you to have sex outside of marriage. No, that's sin, but he's not just after. He's not just wanting you to disobey your parents. He wants that. He doesn't just want you to do drugs. He wants that. But listen, look at what the verse says. He says he wants you. Not just to get you to commit certain sins. He wants you, your heart, your mind, your soul, everything about you. The devil has a wicked, dirty, filthy, evil lust after you. Jesus said he wants you. And that ought to make you tremble and make sure you stay close to Jesus. Right? Because the wolves aren't scared of the sheep, but they are scared of the shepherd. And look at what Jesus says. Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I love that, but I. It's just like Jesus just stands up, right? I see it. Not just our Savior. It's like Satan wants to destroy, but I. Satan wants to take you out, but I. Man, I love those two words. But I have prayed for you that your, what is the devil after? Your faith. See why you have questions now? See why you have doubts? Your faith, your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The devil wants to eat up your trust. He wants you to throw it away. This Jesus thing is fake. The Bible was written by human beings and it has errors in it. I don't need Christianity. I'm going to go do my own thing. When you hear those voices, believer, it's the devil because he's after your faith. He's after your faith because he hates the one who is the object of your faith, Jesus, the risen Christ. But Jesus says, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus says to every believer in the room, I will not let the devil take you away from me ever, 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 ever. That's what that verse is meant to say to every believer in this room. Yes, the devil wants you to throw away your Bible and throw away the gospel and walk away. But Jesus says, I won't let that happen because your faith is not about your faith. It's about the one who you have placed your faith in, Jesus. But I'll step right in between the devil and you and break his neck. He cannot have not one of my children. And this is the beauty of assurance. Let these verses just wash over you. That's why they're in the Bible. There's so many of them that promise that God is going to keep you believing in him, even in the midst of your weak faith. Let's look at a few of them. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Don't you love that? It's like your steps are going to be ordered. Though you fall, you got any pastor, preacher, Christian, missionary that teaches that Christians don't fall, they're lying. Okay? There's certain crazy people out there that teach that Christians, you can get to a place where you don't sin. If that's your church, I'm sorry. You need to shut it down. At least that lie. Okay? And you must not be alive. I don't know. I don't know how you can come up with that. But 1 John says you're a liar. So that, how about that? Just take that one. Though he fall, you're not going to fall fully away because the Lord is holding your hand. It's just like me walking with my little Kalia. We call her Lily. She's just cute. She's 2 years old and she's always falling. She's rough and I got her hand. I'm like, okay, let's cross the street. And she's just, there she goes and, you know, and just kind of, you know, it's just, she's doing all kinds of stuff. But did she fall? No, I got her. She doesn't fall into the sewer system. She doesn't fall into a ditch. You know, it's just like, I got you. Listen, your walk with Christ, you're going to slip and fall. And the Lord says, I'm not going to let you fall completely away from me. The Lord holds my hand. Look at this other verse real quick. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes, this is Jesus, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Okay? How about that for the heart of Jesus? If you come to me, I don't know what your view of Jesus is, but he says, if you come to me, I will never push you away. You've got friends that'll push you away. Some of you have been hurt by some people that push you. Your own mom, your own dad. Look, Jesus will never push you away. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. I won't lose anyone who puts their trust in me. I will keep them. Nobody will be lost, but they're going to be with me forever in my kingdom. How about that for assurance? He says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, that's what I pray that you're doing right now, looking at the Son, looking at Jesus, right, from your heart, looking at the one who died in your place, by faith. Whoever in this room is trusting in Jesus and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What is he saying? If you really trust me, you're going to make it to heaven. Oh, I will make sure. And every devil in hell, no devil in hell will keep you from safely arriving home with your king. That is so beautiful. Last verse. Let's read this together. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He's going to do it. He started it. He's going to complete it. And we need to rest in this gracious God. There's an old hymn that says, hallelujah, what a savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the what? To the end. Okay, so don't tell me that you are a Christian and you love sin and you love self and you've left God and you don't want anything to do with him and you never feel sad when you sin. You don't feel grieved when you sin. No, you're not a believer. Because those who profess Christ have a story, and it is, hallelujah, what a savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, though I fall, he's going to bring me back. Though the devil eats at my faith, he's going to step in between me and the devil and push him off. True believers always come back. They always sin and they always come back, and they sin and they hate it because Jesus is at work in them, keeping them, loving them. He will be with them until the end. And so be real about where you are. God is showing you flesh and blood signs of his love for you all around you. Just look around. Leaders have invested their time. I mean, these are signs of love for you. They want to hear what's going on in your heart. Some of you have never opened up about your doubts. Some of you have never opened up about the voices in your head that you're wrestling with. You've unplugged from normal life for a weekend so that you can get out here and get with God who loves you and be real with him about where you are. And look to his son. Because if you trust in Christ alone, he will never let you go. Through the storm, through the rain. Oh no, you never let go. Every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of your own. Amen. Let me pray for us. Just be real before the Lord. He knows, he loves. Wherever you are in your walk with him, your walk with sin, your walk with the devil, I don't know. Jesus knows. Jesus died. Jesus rose. And anyone who will come to him, he will not cast them out. He will raise them up on the last day. Believer, just go to bed with "but I" in your heart. But I. Satan wants you, but I. Jesus, the one who created him, will not let him snatch you out of my hands. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love your people. Thank you that you are forever faithful to your people. Thank you that though we fall, you will not let us fall fully away because you uphold us with your hand. Thank you that you will make sure that we become more and more like your son, and we will make it safely to the kingdom. Lord, I pray if there be any fake Christians, oh God, they ought not have any assurance, but only trembling to face a holy God apart from Christ. So I pray that you would make us all real, that you would cause the love of Christ through the gospel to rest and settle in our hearts, that we would be satisfied in your love forever. Lord, do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kempton Turner and Assurance and the Love of God for Teens. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network as we seek to help you build a strong family to the glory of God.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.